of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
This is the Midday News for Thursday, June 24. I am Kimberly Benjamin in the headlines. Dr. Irvin Andre insists that electoral reform is needed in Dominica, but he is apprehensive about what appears to be hidden motives of the DLP administration to manipulate registration of voters overseas. Antigua's health minister informs cabinet that the 2,000 doses of vaccines, which are set to expire in 8 days, will be consumed by the Antigua and Barbuda population during the days remaining. And the Delta variant is the force behind Missouri leading the U.S. in most COVID-19 cases per capita. More young unvaccinated patients are being admitted to hospital, and officials worry the surge is intensifying. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and the National Bank of Dominica Limited. The details after this.
There's never a bad time to feel good. At Courts, we've got all you need to make your home more comfortable and enjoyable, all at the best prices. Save on electronics and smart devices. Great deals on furniture and appliances. Get it now with Ready Finance, and we'll pay your first and last installments. So it's all about feel-good days. Brought to you by Courts, bringing value home. Conditions apply.
Grow, build, and imagine the future with us.
Are you interested in owning shares in a successful local organization?
A market leader with proven financial performance and resilience, poised for growth.
Contributing significantly to our social and economic development, and is committed to building our nation. A progressive entity with a history of firsts, transforming banking in Dominica.
Now is your chance to purchase shares in the National Bank of Dominica Limited, a bank with a vision of elevating the lives of the people we serve. Invest in your local bank
and grow with us.
Build with us.
Imagine with us. Visit our website or any branch for details on our share offer.
Refer to the prospectus for factors to consider before buying shares.
Grow, build, and imagine the future with us.
NBD. Your partner, your bank.
Dr. Irvin Andre insists that electoral reform is needed in Dominica, but he is apprehensive about what appears to be hidden motives of the DLP administration to manipulate registration of voters overseas, potentially in efforts to maintain an advantage over all contending parties.
That is what is staring Dominica in the face. Some of your listeners may not want to hear it. Some of them may pontificate piously, but let's wait and see what we'll deliver. But the evidence is clear. Because if we were interested in genuine electoral reform, we wouldn't be spending all this money, because we know what it is about. We know what free and fair elections are about. But that is not the goal. The primary focus on this thing is to justify and legitimize the participation of foreign persons in Dominica's electoral process. And make no mistake about it. Those who will be registering these so-called foreign-based Dominicans will do so selectively. They will not express an open invitation to document everybody. That is not the goal. The goal is to represent or to elect, not elect, I'm sorry, to register those who deliver the goods insofar as elections are concerned.
Dr. Andre says, based on the current fragility of Dominica's democratic system, democracy may die in the hands of the current administration.
Once you have such a system, as I said, you can go and ask Bishop Malzay, Archbishop, for a spot in the Rosa Cemetery, because I'm told that the spots are getting scarcer and scarcer. Ask him to reserve a spot for democracy, because it will be dead. And Lazarus died long ago. This is the junction. This is the reality that scares us in the face. And it's just not a matter of voting. This has implications for virtually every component of Dominica's democratic way of life.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. Dominica's forestry officers will be making a site visit of the Belfast River on Monday, June 28, 10 a.m. in response to the invitation, advocacy, and other efforts of the Waitakubili Advocate for a Viable Environment wave.
And quite frankly, I don't believe any government needs to mandate the church to pray. I don't know what the program is. I have not seen the program, but the minister did say that there'll be prayers 3 times a day.
We have invited the forestry department to advise us about accessibility to the river. Okay? as I said earlier in one of your broadcasts, the preschool teacher, she told me every year for World Waters Day, she would take her children, her students, to the river. But she said, today, we have no access. And it's a general complaint from the people, from Jimit, Maho, and so on, who live in the immediate environment of the river. So forestry officers will be coming. We will look how best we can access the river. And we're hoping that, again, we have quite a number of companies. We want to put a program together. But the adoption of the river, you know, there's no company in Dominica that have adopted a river except the Rosalie Bay Resort. They have adopted their Rosalie Bay Resort. So
President of WAVE, Father Franklin Cuffey, he says since the beginning of 2021, WAVE has been championing cleaning efforts and restoration efforts to clean up the environment surrounding the Belfast River, as well as protecting the river itself. Top on the agenda of this site visit is to assess the best possible rehabilitation strategy for the Belfast River and how best access can be restored for the general public for recreation and monitoring.
So we are hoping with that site visit on Monday, we have invited the village council, the festival committees of Maho, the scouts, the girl guides, and anybody else who are interested to come and meet. We have, and then we'll approach the authorities to be how they can, first of all, how can we access our river? I can remember after Marie, on both sides of the Belfast River, you had people washing clothes. You had people bathing. It was such a beautiful scene. So we want to make an offer with forestry. What trees or plants can we put in the area to beautify the place?
Yeah.
And if all the companies around, you know, I'm sure they can put a few benches for us to sit or lightings or whatever.
WAVE's President, Father Franklin Cuffey. Pastor Randy Rodney responds to the Minister with Responsibility for Governance, Greta Roberts, who calls for 3 days of prayer and fasting from 25th to 27th June. Rodney, speaking via telephone interview on this morning's Hot Seat, said he is not of the view that any government should mandate the church to pray and that the church should not be praying simply because any prime minister says so.
And quite frankly, I don't believe any government needs to mandate the church to pray. I don't know what the program is. I have not seen the program, but the minister did say that there'll be prayers 3 times a day on Friday and Saturday, and it will culminate in Thanksgiving. We do not know whether the Thanksgiving or the prayers are at a particular point, or whether it was just asked for churches to do their due in praying. Like I said, we've been praying all the time, and we are not going to just, well, from my personal perspective, we're not praying because the Prime Minister says so, the Minister says so. We're praying because we love our nation, we love our country.
The controversial prayer event is scheduled to kick off from 12 noon Friday with Evangelist Peter R. Augustine at DBS Radio for the Hour of Prayer, then at 3 p.m. with C. Pastor Benjamin. On Saturday at 9 a.m., the 1 hour of prayer will be done by Pastor Leroy Hill, at 12 noon Pastor Thomas, then finally with Pastor Andrew at 3 p.m. Pastor Rodney says he is not surprised that he was not invited to some of their prayer sessions, as the reality of the situation is that one cannot pretend to be calling unity all the while behaving in the exactly opposite manner. He says he has never been one to enhance or bolster any political party.
My concern, I wasn't invited, Matt, and maybe I never expect you to be invited, if, because, Matt, there are some things that I don't get invited to, and some people have to tell me why I don't get invited to them, and it doesn't bother me, really. Because, like I often said, I will do what I believe the Lord wanted me to do. Here's this, Matt. You operate from Q95.
Right.
The prayers, according to the minister, are going to be on media houses. Have you had instructions or requests from the ministry to host the prayer from that platform? So do you understand my concern about dividing the country, but then asking other people to come on board? So in my view, it is not about asking people to come on board. It's about wooing as much support as you can for what you want to do, and without concern and consideration for the other people who may not necessarily agree with you. And so that's how I see it. And I personally, and I keep saying to people that I speak from my personal perspective, I personally do not get involved in in enhancing or bolstering political parties. I am one of those who will stand by the scripture, by righteousness, by truth, and by justice.
Pastor Randy Rodney. Social activist Loftus Durand contends that the level of hypocrisy as regards prayers of convenience within the church community is now at the highest degree. Durand's sentiments came in reaction to a call for 3 days of prayer and fasting from DLP government minister Greta Roberts. Durand says these prayers will not pass the roof or the ceiling of the building that they are praying. He spoke on the moral conscience of the country, saying that morals are quickly eroding.
The moral conscience, that is, of any nation or any state is the church. And when we talk about the church, we're talking about the four walls of the building. We're talking about the people. And so if the people of any country lost their moral conscience, then that country, as Jomo said, it is doomed. And in that vein, part of the problem we have faced in Dominica this time is persons who profess to be Christian, but they are very, very far from Christ. Matthew 23, Matthew SPLG, he quotes and he says, "Sorrow awaits you, or woe unto you, teachers or religious leaders," or the Pharisees, he called them in the day, "for you guys are like whitewashed tombs. They are beautiful on the outside, but inside they are rotten." And he compared them to having dead men's bones. And I will rest it there for now, because what is happening in our country, that level of hypocrisy and trying to cover the injustice that goes on a daily basis with prayer and fasting, those prayer and fasting, these religious people, they know these prayers will not pass the roof or the ceiling in the building that they're praying.
He then shared some updates on the Mehul Choksi matter as it pertains to the present situation and said Choksi is now under even tighter police custody with less lawyer visits being allowed, no family visitations, and an abnormal level of isolation from everyone.
In terms of an update, from very reliable sources, I heard that the Deputy Commissioner of Police, that is Mr. Valerie, went to the PMH yesterday and basically instructed or told Mr. Choksi that the luxury that he was afforded before in terms of his lawyers, that is Mr. Choksi's lawyers, coming to visit him at any time of the day, that would be curtailed from yesterday. So now the new hours I'm hearing is from 9 o'clock in the morning to 2 p.m. in the afternoon. That is the time that the police has instructed Mr. Choksi that his lawyers will be able to see him to deal with anything legal. Also, too, as part of, you know, kind of grinding it in, the communique said that not even the lawyers' aides or their people who help them out in the office are allowed to see Mr. Choksi. Mr. Choksi's family, I'm being told, some of them were on island. For about 2 weeks now, they are not allowed to see Mr. Choksi.
Social activist and radio show host Loftus Durand. Minister for Telecoms and Broadcasting Oscar George says 5 bills have been approved for consideration when the 7th meeting of the 10th Parliament gets underway Monday. He outlines these bills.
The Fiscal Responsibility Bill, which intends to define a rules-based fiscal responsibility framework for Dominica. It will guide and anchor the fiscal policy of the government. A bill for an act to amend the Automatic Exchange of Financial Accounting Information Act No. 6 of 2019 and a bill for an act to amend the Companies Act will be introduced as part of our international commitments to open and transparently exchange tax information. A bill for an act to repeal the International Business Companies Act, Chapter 78-01 will also be introduced. Finally, in keeping with government's commitment to transform the health sector in Dominica, the Dominica Hospital Authority Bill will be introduced to provide for the establishment of the Dominica Hospitals Authority, the administration and management of the hospitals and health facilities.
Minister for Telecoms and Broadcasting Oscar George. Owner of Ace Engineering and executive member of the Dominica Business Forum, Anthony Liblack, contends that the biggest issue for Dominica dating back to 1985 re-electoral reform is implementation of recommendations presented after completing electoral reform studies.
The issue that we have had over the years with electoral reforms and the various studies and recommendations is implementation. Practically none of the reform recommendations have been implemented. You go back to 1985, there was a recommendation for ID cards, for example, and the issue has been implementation. In 2019, when the current administration called the OAS and the CARICOM and the Commonwealth to come and advise the country on electoral reform, the assumption was that the recommendations were going to be implemented. Within hours of the report, the Attorney General's office says that they're too expensive. And how could they be too expensive when they were the very recommendations of the Electoral Commission itself, who said it received enough funds to implement the recommendations? It was the very recommendations that we made as the Electoral Reform Group. And the time frames were also within that period. And there's no doubt that the election was called very early to make sure we didn't have the time.
Libla said electoral reform must not be seen as a one-off process, but that it must be continuous. He also advised on other important areas that need to be addressed in the electoral reform process.
So going back to what we expect from the electoral reform, or any electoral reform, it has to, at the end of the day, result, a desirable result of any good reform is that it provides that environment, that setting where from the start of the campaigning to the polling day, voters will perceive and accept that the processes, the activities are being conducted transparently and fairly, and the results are to be honored. The joint mission from the Commonwealth and the OAS reminds us that electoral reform should be ideally a continuous process. It shouldn't be jumped on before an election only. It shouldn't be jumped on after a lot of pressure before the last election and we hire somebody or hire a team to study it. We know where the reforms are. There have been several recommendations.
DBF member Anthony Libla. Attorney Joshua Francis filed a lawsuit against police officer Judy Etinoff Ansam, acting deputy police chief Davidson Valerie, and the attorney general of Dominica on June 10, 2021. He's suing the state with respect to matters against him, which he claims were without reasonable or probable cause, being false imprisonment, breach of privacy, confidence, statutory duty, constitutional rights, and pre-trial prejudice. The allegation is that the defendants allowed third parties and irrelevant influences to dictate the issue of bringing off a charge against him while knowingly aware of the improbable prospect of a conviction. He claims that the purpose of his detention and prosecution was to harm his reputation and lessen his chances of being re-elected as the parliamentary representative of the Roseau South constituency. Francis is claiming $2,000 for medical expenses, counseling, and $30,000 for legal costs to a total of $32,000. He's represented by attorney Ronald Charles. He's also claiming aggravated damages for what he says is the unlawful and malicious conduct of the defendants causing harm to his family, personal, and professional reputation. And over the weekend, Q95 News confirms that Reno Equipment and Company was seen working on the Belfast Riverbank, clearing the concrete and garbage dumped there for some time, thanks to the environmental group known as WAVE. President of WAVE, Father Franklin Cuffey, spoke to Q95 News on Wednesday.
We were happy that we are delighted that the Reno company has cleared the concrete material that was dumped along the riverbank. Now that they have cleared the mess that was there, I mean, there's still some more work to be done. And we are in the hurricane season. From today, we are 91 days away from next World Rivers Day. So I think this augurs well, the cleaning by Reno, recognizing that, you know, you can't be dumping stuff on the riverbank.
In other news, the Antigua cabinet was informed by the Minister of Health that the vaccines, which are said to expire in 8 days, numbering less than 2,000 doses, will be consumed by the Antigua and Barbuda population during the days remaining. There will therefore be no reason to share the vaccines with a fellow Caribbean country, as previously announced. Antigua and Barbuda has set a target of 70% of its population to be vaccinated in order to get herd immunity. And officials say the Delta variant is the driving force behind Missouri, leading the nation in most COVID-19 cases per capita. CBS News correspondent Omar Villafranca spoke to a doctor in Springfield, Missouri, who says he's seeing more younger, unvaccinated patients being admitted to his hospital and worries the surge he's facing right now is going to intensify.
Well, here they're saying that people just need to get vaccinated. It's that lack of vaccination that's causing the virus to spike. Here in the Branson area, only 1 in 4 people are fully vaccinated. And that's left a lot of people vulnerable in this tourist town with its Ferris wheels and all the shows, right at a time where they're about to see the biggest crowds of the year.
It's summer in the Ozarks, a popular vacation destination for Midwesterners and Southerners alike. But right now, the region is one of the hottest hotspots for COVID-19, according to Dr. Terrence Coulter.
What do you worry about?
I'm worried about the perfect storm brewing. With the lifting of the mask mandates, the vacationers coming and going, the low immunization rates, and then now the arrival of the Delta variant, which is highly prevalent in the area. We're a hotspot, and this is just going to explode outward.
The Delta variant is being blamed for a sharp rise in hospitalizations in southwest Missouri, up 196% in the last month. The variant now accounts for nearly half of all COVID cases across 10 states. At Cox Health in Springfield, it's been detected in the majority of patients.
Who are the people who are ending up in your hospitals now?
Disturbingly, what we're seeing is more and more younger patients being admitted. And these are, of course, the unvaccinated. This is the gap in our armor. They feel they don't really need it. They're invincible.
That's exactly how 50-year-old Louis Michael felt.
Well, you think you're strong and you're physically in shape and you're moving along just fine.
Until he and his wife, Patty, ended up in a Missouri hospital last week due to complications from COVID. Michael told us from his hospital room he was on the fence about the shot. He hadn't caught the virus yet and wasn't sure he ever would.
I got a little cocky about it. And now that we've got this new variant, this new strain, it seems to be dive bombing everybody that didn't have any problems before. And so I regret not having it. If you can go and get this shot now and bypass what we've been through the last 2 weeks, because you feel like you're going to die, it's horrible.
Dr. Coulter said at the peak of the pandemic, 7 people were dying a day at his hospital. And I said, are you ready for another surge? And he said, we have to be.
And that's the midday news. But first, a recap of the headlines. Dr. Irvin Andre insists that electoral reform is needed in Dominica, but he's apprehensive about what appears to be hidden motives of the DLP administration to manipulate registration of voters overseas. Antigua's health minister informs cabinet that the 2,000 doses of vaccines, which are said to expire, will be consumed by the Antigua and Barbuda population during the days remaining. And the Delta variant is the force behind Missouri, leading the U.S. in most COVID-19 cases per capita. More young, unvaccinated patients are being admitted to the hospital, and officials worry the surge is intensifying. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and the National Bank of Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Of the hour news, as it happens, when it happens.